Coming up on show 906, how video game technology is rescuing the terrible car software in EVs. Also on the podcast today, Ford revealing their European charging partners, Tesla's full self-driving beta, and a concept car from Mercedes-Benz. Surprise, surprise. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, the edition for Tuesday, 13th of October. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. If you want to support this podcast, but don't want to go down the whole Patreon thing, if you're listening in Great Britain, you can move your energy provider to the one I use. I've never given out my referral code before. I've just kept it quiet. I've not really wanted to share it because... But people have said to me recently, how can I support? I don't want to do Patreon every month, but how can I support the podcast? And like a one-off donation. Okay, well, I've been thinking about that. But actually, for the next 2 days, and 2 days only, then Octopus are giving you £100 on your account to switch to them. And so, again, if it suits you, if you've been meaning to move energy provider, if you want that £100 credit on your account, which you'll do, like for me, that's like 2.5 months electricity in the summer, and that means I get £50 for referring you, which can support this podcast. We'll then use my code, which I'll put into the show notes, into YouTube description, into the podcast notes on Twitter and Facebook and the rest, and do that before the 15th. It might even be midnight on the 14th, so in other words, like, do it now, and get yourself some free money from Octopus and support this podcast. Ford is today announcing partnerships for their European charging partners and their own Wallbox. If you're a Ford customer and you don't want to get a third-party charger at home, they are announcing their Ford Connected Wallbox installation services with 6 companies covering 14 markets all over Europe. Owners can remotely monitor and control the Ford Connected Wallbox from your smartphone using the Ford Pass smartphone app. And then you can check the charge, the current charge rate, also the energy that's been used. You can remotely enable family or friends, or maybe someone's using your driveway or it's an Airbnb or something. You can allow them to use the charger remotely. The company also recently announced the Ford Mustang Mach-E customers placing an order this year will get 5 years free access to the Ford Pass charging network. And I'll tell you what that is in a moment. They also get 1 year's completely free access to the Ionity fast charging network. Well, delivered in partnership with NewMotion, the Ford Pass charging network is at the moment the largest network of public charging stations in the region. And it's always funny when they write things like that, because I think I half think that they're hoping people will see that and presume they've built their own Tesla supercharging network, but of course they've just corralled existing chargers under one logo and banner. But of course, it's, you know, it still counts if you want to make your customers' life easier, because that's the idea, really. With the Ford Pass charging network here in Europe, you can use the app to locate the chargers, you can use the app to pay for your charge, and you can use the app to monitor the charging status of your car. It works in 21 countries. Of course, it is a bit of a patchwork, a mishmash here in Europe of joining up different networks, and so doing and bringing them all together is a smart thing for customers, especially those who aren't, you know, the nerdy, the geeky ones, the ones that just want to get a new car, happens to be electric, where do I charge it? Good solution. Charging on the Ionity network, well, you can charge up to 150 kilowatts in the Ford Mustang Mach-E, and if you get the big battery one, the extended range battery, do it in rear-wheel drive configuration, you can add over 70 miles, 73 miles, actually, of driving in the first 10 minutes of charging if you arrive at a low state of charge. And the Mustang Mach-E is targeting an official WLTP range of 379 miles. That's 610 kilometres. That's not official yet. It is a target. It's hard to know, actually. You know, some of these targets get hit, some of them don't. Like, you know, see Polestar for an example of that. And sometimes these targets get smashed. So we'll wait and see what Ford do there. It's in European dealerships early next year. I'll pop a link to the Ford media site where I found all that information in the show notes if you would like to read more. Well, Tesla looked like they're on the verge of opening up a massive market. India Elon Musk recently confirming that they will enter the Indian market soon, possibly by next year. And whilst there's little information about Tesla's business plans for India, fans can't seem to wait for the Model 3 and the Model Y being on sale officially there, says the Hindustan Times. Tesla's entry could come at a time when the Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, is increasingly becoming focused on promoting the use and manufacture of EVs. However, Musk didn't explain what Tesla's business plan would be in India, given that the EV culture and indeed the infrastructure to support widespread EV use is still a very early stage if you compare it to US, European and the Asian markets. Well, Tesla's entry into India, if it does take place, doesn't automatically mean the opening of showrooms, but Elon Musk was talking about the configurator going live early next year. No date on when those cars will arrive with customers, though. So, arrival has been compared to Rivian, for instance, because Rivian making trucks for Amazon. Arrival is the UK-based electric vehicle startup, but they've got some big backers, the likes of Hyundai and Kia, and they're going to be making electric delivery trucks for the likes of UPS, amongst others. Their way of going about business, they say, is, you know, not unique to them, but it's going to work for them. They're going to build a lot of micro factories all over the world. The first one's going to be in South Carolina, and they'll be able to make 1,000 battery-powered buses there per year. The buses will use a flat skateboard chassis. They will use extruded aluminium components. The body panels are joined like aerospace, really. Like, it's going to use adhesives to put them together. And the colouring of the vans will either be either dyeing the composite materials or wrapping. So no paint shop, which is often the headache of any startup. See Tesla. According to Forbes, the microfactory is the company's first in the US and the beginning of a paradigm shift in the EV space. Says Mike Abelson, he's a Rivals North American CEO and a former GM exec overseeing their EV strategy. The company is investing $46 million in this US production factory. So you can see it's not the biggest at all. You haven't got to require a lot of land. You're not stamping metals and materials at each of the factories. Just a different way of going about business. We'll see if it works for Arrival. It's going to be in Rock Hill, South Carolina. 240 workers there. Opens next year. And the company's microfactory concept is intended to make the manufacturing process as inexpensive as possible, rather than requiring hundreds of acres of land and a purpose-built structure. Arrival says it can set up and equip their microfactory model in 6 months. I'll pop a link to Forbes in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Lead story today, and it's how game makers are rescuing the software inside EVs. It's not just me, is it? The software inside cars is terrible. When Tesla came along as a Silicon Valley company that put software first, it was kind of revolutionary, apart from the shock and awe of having that big slab of glass, that massive screen in the Model S. The fact that there was great software inside that was intuitive to use, that was quick, that was snappy, and not always brilliant, if you go back to the early days of the Model S and things like the browser. But that's been improved upon, and the latest software inside the latest Teslas is leading the way, whether you're a fan of the brand or not. And I try and stay pretty agnostic, as you know, on this podcast. I do like to give praise where it's due, and they are one of the ones absolutely getting it right. But what about for everybody else? Well, they're looking towards gaming to sort it out. I mean, I've got an EV that is a year old. It's a year-old car. It's a Renault Zoe. And the software inside it is probably a little bit better than the 10-year-old Volkswagen Golf that I was driving. I mean, it's a bit better. I think I can connect Android to it. Not that I've got an Android phone. It's got a reverse camera. That's an improvement. I mean, the graphics are a little bit better. But largely, if you get inside a brand new combustion car now, still, in-car software is largely terrible. I mean, it's got better, but I hope I don't offend too many people when I say software in cars is rubbish in the grand scheme of things, in terms of what they could be doing. Well, you may have heard of the game Fortnite. It's made by a company called Epic Games, and they're partnering with car makers, starting with General Motors, and they use their game development platform called the Unreal Engine. And they're going to be building the in-car software for GM in what Epic is calling the human-machine Initiative, Interface Initiative, the HMI Initiative. The first car to use the Unreal Engine and the primary software toolset for developers making Fortnite and countless other big budget video games is going to be the upcoming Hummer EV, branded a GMC. And that's going to be unveiled in a week's time on October 20th, says The Verge. And it's always interesting to look at tech websites talking about EVs. I love it. It's a real coming together of two of my favourite things. The logic is simple, says The Verge. Modern cars are primarily designed using software, and assembled cars carry scores of onboard computers and relying on touchscreens and digital interfaces to power infotainment centres and other sources of information displayed to drivers. And the Unreal Engine is a great platform for building software, which Epic thinks makes a great platform for building the software that goes into cars. Got a quote here from Epic, quite a long statement, but Epic saying that when you sit in the driver's seat of a modern car today, the way you interact with the vehicle is different from a few years ago. Buttons and screens dominate the dashboard, the steering wheel, the instrument pane, providing features that may be new to you. Electrification is at the root of many of these advances, with digital hardware like cameras, sensors, and displays combined with cutting-edge technology like the Unreal Engine. They form a framework on which to build new experiences. They say, at Epic Games, we've long been interested in the way the requirements for the human-machine interface development overlap with those of video games. Much of the functionality required to create those systems has been available in the Unreal Engine for some time. The Unreal Engine provides best-in-class visuals for production HMI, with car paint materials and reflections that bring the highest quality real-time graphics to the vehicle. A comprehensive set of visual effects features that have been hardened by game development give automotive designers a robust set of tools to express creativity in their HMI designs. And that's what Epic say, and I must admit, I'm so excited about this because, look, if you think about it, if you are one of the world's great coders, software engineers, where do you want to work? Do you want to work at Google or Amazon or Facebook or Twitter or Tesla? Or do you want to develop games for companies like Epic, like Fortnite is just like ridiculously popular? Or do you want to go work at a car maker and develop the button that says radio and the button that says settings? Like, no. So, no disrespect to the people that do the software for cars, and to be frank, a lot of it's bought in. Apart from, I know that VW have got their big announcement recently of their software division, a lot of it is from tier one suppliers, a lot of it is from third-party companies that they do a good job, but really, if you are the greatest software and engineers in the world, your ambition isn't to go and work at a car maker, is it? Whereas, actually, this coming together of video game designers and video game software and in-car entertainment and the interface is so exciting because it opens up all those possibilities of making that big screen in an EV like real life. So when you see a picture of the car, just like, I hate to say their name again, Tesla, yes, the colour on the car on the dashboard is the colour of your car. It should just be the way it is, not just the standard color that even like the new VW ID, like the ID3, the latest software in 2020 from one of the world's biggest car makers, still doesn't have the color of your car. And I know that this is a tiny point, and if you're listening to this thinking, come on Martin, yeah, like this is a bit over the top, it's just the way it should be now with the technology available. So actually, if you're looking at a virtual view of the road of the car, yeah, the reflections on your car should be video game realistic. You should be able to look at your phone or your tablet, your device, and even for your phone or your tablet, to be able to replicate what's on your dashboard in HD, in 4K, or more. The cars are so far behind in software. This is a brilliant piece of news that won't work its way into combustion cars because that's old and boring. But it'll arrive with EVs, and it is arriving with the Hummer, and I can't wait to see the possibilities, the avenues that it opens up just to have that experience inside the car so much better, so much more realistic, so much more interactive. And, you know, on the long term, I'm not one of these people that subscribe to saying that robo-taxis are going to be ferrying us all around in the next 5 minutes, unlike some people. But, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years, there will be progress made there. And I'm not being overly pessimistic there, but it's a fantastically hard problem to solve. There'll be a point in the car when the steering wheel just isn't relevant. And actually, when you are inside a vehicle that is moving you from A to B, whatever that vehicle looks like, then what you do inside it is going to be more important. Let's get that sorted now. And then when we are all living in the future, then, you know, we'll have some really interesting things to do, like play video games on those screens. I'll pop a link to The Verge in the show notes. Mercedes-Benz are next. They've revealed the latest in their growing line of prototypes and concept cars. Surprise, surprise. They've done a version of the EQC called the 4x4 squared. It's a one-off. It's exploring the off-road ability and capability of their first dedicated electric model, says Autocar website. It receives a heavily reworked suspension, multi-link portal axles, big wheels, big axle hubs. Ground clearance is 153 millimeters higher over the standard EQC, which now puts it at about 293 millimetres, about 12 inches, giving Mercedes-Benz four-wheel drive concept car about 60 millimetres more ground clearance than a standard G-Class. But it's interesting they do these things. Mercedes-Benz, you have got some talented people in your company. Let them make EVs and get them on the road now. Stopped Mickey Mousing about with concept cars. Okay, moving on. The Dacia Spring EV has been teased again ahead of its debut in 2 days' time. The Dacia Premier will be a production version of the Spring concept. Really interesting car, actually. It's going to be an updated version of China's Renault City KZE. The Spring is coming to Europe. It'll make electric cars accessible to all. It's not going to have the biggest range, 124 miles or 200 kilometres, but the price, they say, is going to be so, so low. It makes it cheaper than combustion car equivalents. It's available in the first half of 2021. It's Europe's most affordable EV when it arrives and when we know the price. And unfortunately, I don't know why this is, Dacia just announced it will not be being made in right-hand drive version. It will not be coming to the UK. Of course, one of the things that is massively impacting the UK at the moment is that at the end of the year, because of Brexit, we are leaving the EU. So we no longer have to adhere to the European emissions rules. Now, well, this could be a whole podcast on itself, but, you know, in short, car makers need to sell EVs to avoid fines. We aren't going to be part of that anymore. There is no incentive for car makers to sell their EVs after the 1st of January in this country. Hurts me to say it. I don't want it to be true. I want to be disproven. Hopefully the government will just sign on or even just continue those current CO2 rules. But, well, the latest talk is that actually they might be bending a little bit to the pressure of car makers, and although CO2 regulations might not be fully carried over now, which was the previous promise. And if that's the case, there's no incentive to sell EVs in the UK anymore when we leave Europe. And so why would you make a right-hand drive version of the cheapest car in Europe? I was really looking forward to seeing the Dacia Spring here, but why would they make one? There's going to be so many cases where they just don't, all car companies just don't need to sell EVs here anymore. In the first instance, of course, if they sell enough in Europe to offset the fines and they become kind of fine positive, if you like, then they'll put excess stock here. It is a sucky situation, but I'm sure there's going to be many worse things because of Brexit than simply getting a new car. Watch this space. 2020 is the year of the SPAC, the SPAC, Special Purpose Acquisition Company. Romeo Systems, which makes lithium-ion battery modules and packs for commercial vehicles, is the latest electric vehicle company to go public in a reverse merger with a SPAC, says FreightWaves. Romeo is based in Los Angeles, in the suburb of Vernon, and in California. They announced an agreement yesterday with a special purpose acquisition company to combine businesses. Romeo Power's valuation could be $1.3 billion. If you've heard the name before, Romeo systems, because the Wall Street Journal reported last month that Nikola was testing Romeo batteries for use in their truck, the Nikola Tre. You would have also, before he left the company, have seen their former CEO and executive chairman, Nikola Motors' Trevor Milton, saying that they're making all their own batteries. Many, many big promises were made, but it looks like they weren't. It was going to be a company called Romeo Systems. What's a SPAC, by the way? What is an entity like this? They do an IPO, they go public, but at the time, it's like a blank check company. So last year, this company floated with the mission to go find a company to merge with to then invest that money. So you can put some money into this public body, this public company, and there's rules that they have to find a company within a couple of years or you get your money back, and then they go public. But it means that by reverse merging with another company, they can become a publicly traded company so much quicker. I think I've explained that. Again, that's the subject for a whole other podcast. Also yesterday, executives of Hillion Holdings rang the opening bell on the New York Stock Exchange. It celebrated the completion of their reverse merger with Tortoise Acquisition Company, raising $560 million for the startup electric driveline maker. And another one, Switchback Energy, did a reverse merger with ChargePoint last month. That deal will value ChargePoint at $2.4 billion. ChargePoint has 115,000 charging stations, and they'd get $542 million when the deal closes. It's a way for companies to become traded much quicker than the traditional process. And it swept through the EV landscape this year. Electrify America, the largest open DC fast charging network in the US, is collaborating with Midwestern retailer Mayer to install EV charging stations at 9 of their stores across Illinois and Michigan, says Green Car Congress. The stations will total 36 ultra-fast public EV chargers, increasing the availability of public charging options in the greater Chicago area and throughout Michigan State. And finally, South Korea's Hyundai Motor, or however you want me to say it, started Hyundai, I don't know, every country says it differently. They started construction on a research and development center in Singapore today that will house a small-scale EV production facility. According to Reuters, the Singapore Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said the facility may produce up to 30,000 EVs every year by the middle of the decade in 2025, representing an investment of $295 million equivalent. A spokeswoman confirmed the target of 30,000 vehicles by 2025, but said the exact capacity hasn't been determined. The facility opens at the end of 2022. More amazing, positive, fantastic news today on the podcast. Just every day, there's something to celebrate, something to rave about. Hope you love the podcast today as much as I enjoyed putting it together. And that's your show for today. Please share it with someone if you can. Pass it on, pass the word on of the podcast, and see if we can get more people into EVs. There are 905 previous shows in the archive. If you hit subscribe in your favourite podcast app on whatever device you use, maybe multiple devices, it means that it downloads the show automatically. You haven't got to think about it if you do it manually. So hit subscribe in your podcast app. And if you want to say hi on socials, if you search EV News Daily, it should come up top of search results there. As always, a mega thank you to our premium partners on the Patreon platform, which I invite you to have a look at. If you want to have a look at that, patreon.com/EV News Daily. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, launching their XC40 Recharge very soon. Nationalcarcharging.com and AlohaCharge.com. Derek Riley of the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. And Richard at rsimons.co.uk, the electric vehicle specialist. Have a wonderful day. I will catch you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.